good to see you here this morning. I'd like to speak to you this morning on behalf of the elders on a matter of spiritual growth. I want to present a lesson to you on that topic, and in the course of that lesson, discuss the elders' responsibility in this matter, and then I'd like to close with some items that we have been discussing related to that topic. If you have any questions regarding the information presented this morning, I'd urge you to speak to one of us, and we'd be glad to have that conversation with you. Tools for spiritual growth. Spiritual growth among the children of God is important. It's expected. It's even commanded. Certainly, you would be concerned if you had a child that was not growing and maturing. And certainly, God has those same concerns for His own children. So we see in places like 2 Peter 3 and 18 where Peter commands his readers to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord. Or in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11 where Paul tells the Thessalonians they are to build one another up, the idea being that they are to help one another grow. Our theme this year has been to have the mind of Christ. We can see the attitude and the mind of Christ as it came to growth. He grew in all facets and areas, not just with men, but with God. And Luke tells us that Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. And Paul told the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 12, this was a church that eagerly sought for spiritual gifts, and Paul told them their primary concern should be for spiritual growth and the things that would cause the church to grow. I want this church to grow. The elders of this church want this church to grow, certainly numerically, and we need to be carrying the good news to our community. But my message this morning is for you, for the members of this congregation, this local body of saints. God wants His children to be growing in grace and knowledge. He wants us to be growing in love for the Lord first and then for one another second. He wants us to grow in faith, in our abilities, and in our service to one another. We want to make spiritual growth our first priority. Well, how can we do that? At home, when I need to build something, I get my tools because tools help us build. So I brought this morning a tool bag. This is my tool bag. And in my tool bag, I have a number of tools. I've got a screwdriver. I've got a wrench, I've got pliers, there's all sorts of things in this tool bag, tools that can help me to build. Now I also happen to have, I think I have somewhere in here, maybe I don't have one, oh there it is, I have a screw. Now if I were to talk to you about the screwdriver and I were to say, here's a tool. What does this do? We all know what a screwdriver does. Screwdriver you use for installing and removing screws. Now, we've found a lot of other ways to use it, but that's primarily what a screwdriver is for. It's to help us install and remove screws. Well, let's see how that works. I've got my screwdriver. I've got my screw. I want it to fall off. Well, doesn't seem to be working. Clearly, this screwdriver is defective. So we're going to try a different one. This one looks much better. Ratchets, we'll put it up there. We'll see what it can do. I think it's going to fall off too. Let's see what it does. Nothing is happening. What am I missing? I am missing. Do you see that? See, the screwdriver is just a tool. Now, it's a great tool, good tool, serves its purpose, but it needs me to pick it up. It needs me to interact with it. It needs me to take the screwdriver and put it on the screw, and it needs me to apply some energy to it for it to do its job. The screwdriver's a great tool, but it's only a great tool if I'm engaged with it. When I put the screwdriver back down, when I put it back down in my bag, what does it do? It doesn't do anything. Just a tool. Well, I want to talk to you about some other tools this morning. They're not the kind of tools that I'm going to be able to pull out of my bag, but they're tools just the same. Worship is a tool. We all know the purpose of worship, just like we know the purpose of a screwdriver. Worship glorifies God. Worship promotes spiritual growth. It strengthens us. It helps us to be encouraged and built up. But worship's just a tool. Worship requires you. Worship cannot serve its purpose apart from you. For worship to work, you have to be here. You have to interact with it. You have to participate in it. It requires some energy and some effort from you. God wants you to grow, and He's given you a tool to help you do that. Worship is that tool. That's why the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 10:25 warns us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Because we cannot encourage and build one another up through worship if you're not a part of it. Perhaps you're not growing like you want to. Perhaps you're not growing like you need to. Perhaps your spiritual growth has something to do with how often you're using the worship tool that God has given you. Let me back that up. Bible class, Bible study, it's a tool. It's a tool that God's given us. It's a tool that helps us grow in our knowledge of Him so that we can be more like Him. It's why Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 2:15 that we should study to show ourselves approved unto God. We don't grow just by studying anything. That's why Paul in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says that all Scripture is breathed by God and is profitable to teach us, to correct us, to construct us. God gave us His Word so that it could complete us and perfect us, so that we'd be able to do good works. But see, the Bible does nothing by itself. Unless I'm opening it, unless I'm reading it, studying it, it just sits there, just like the screwdriver. We had Bible class earlier this morning. It's a wonderful tool, a powerful tool, but not without you. If you were not here, Bible class is just like all the other tools that I left in my bag here this morning. They don't serve a purpose and they can't fulfill their role. Bible class can do nothing on its own. Prayer is a tool. Prayer is one of the most powerful tools that we have in our tool bag. It's why James tells us in James 5:16 that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer is a powerful tool because it lets us communicate to God. It helps us to grow spiritually. It reminds us of the greatness of our God. It humbles us and shows us our dependence on God. It's meant to strengthen our relationship to God. But see, prayer is just a tool. And it's as worthless as that screwdriver unless we're using it. It requires that we participate in it, that we interact with it, that we open up our hearts, and that we use it. You know, sometimes you get a new tool, and it's a little stiff, like a new pair of pliers, maybe. But the more you use it, it starts to loosen up and feels more natural, more comfortable. That's the way prayer is. The more we use it, the more comfortable it becomes. We have other tools in our tool bag. You know, screwdrivers, pliers, wrenches, those are pretty common everyday tools. Some of our tools we don't use as often. I have this tool. I bet you've never seen one of those before. Not everybody has one of those in their tool bag. That's a tub drain extractor. But when you go to take a tub drain out, there's crossbars in the bottom of it that you use to screw the drain out. Well, they'll get corroded. And then you have a problem because you can't get the drain out. Well, you take this little tool and you put it down in there and you put a socket driver on the other side of it and you turn it. It'll screw the tub drain right out. It's not a tool you're going to use every day. But when you do, it's very effective. We have some tools like that in our spiritual tool bag as well. Gospel meetings. Gospel meetings are a very effective tool. It's not a tool we're going to use all the time. We don't have a gospel meeting every week. But a few times a year, we have a gospel meeting. There's a need to spiritually refocus, a time to set the things of the world aside, to dedicate a few days to study and spiritual renewal. Our busy lives can get very much like that corroded tub drain. We get stuck in a rut of daily activities where we fail to renew ourselves. We fail to renew our hearts and our minds. The gospel meeting is a great tool for that. gospel meeting is just a tool. It can't be effective unless you're here. It requires you, your time, your commitment. Group meetings. Group meetings are another effective but lesser used tool. It isn't something we do all the time, just once a month. You know, in a given month, the world places a lot of negative influences upon us. We spend a good deal of time in any month managing our own schedules, dealing with our own circumstances, and focusing on ourselves. Group meetings provide us a way to build one another up, to encourage and be encouraged, to strengthen relationships with other Christians. Group meetings provide positive influences. They provide opportunities to do good works and to build up this body. Paul warned us in 1 Corinthians 15:33 that evil companions corrupt good morals. If that's true, how much more will time spent with sound Christians build up our moral character? And by now you know what I'm going to say. Group meetings are just a tool. They can't serve their purpose. They can't work. They can't function and provide the value they're meant to apart from you. When it comes to spiritual growth, the elders of this congregation have responsibilities. And I would like to take a few minutes to remind us of those responsibilities this morning. Serving this congregation of saints are seven elders who take their responsibilities very seriously. There is a weight of responsibility when you are tasked with the watchful care of souls. What is more valuable than a soul? I don't know of anything. And so it is the most precious thing that God has given over which we watch. Clearly, our aim is that none be lost. There are many things we deal with in the role of an elder, but none more essential and sober than the spiritual health of this flock. By way of reminder this morning, I would like for you to read a few passages of Scripture with me. If you would turn to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to read verses 1 through 5. The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. This passage points out three things that I want us to look at in relation to the elders. One, we are commanded to shepherd the flock. What we are to do is described by the word shepherd. Some translations use the word feed here. Sheep must be fed. The weak must be strengthened. The injured have to be cared for. Sheep have needs. Those must be recognized and provided for by the shepherds. We have a responsibility to the sheep who are among us, the sheep that we are shepherding, the sheep that we are responsible for are right here, those of you who have associated yourself together in this local body of God's people. The sheep have to be known by the shepherd for him to provide for its needs. If you are coming here regularly, but you try not to be too connected or too involved, that is a concern for a shepherd. If you are not here regularly, that is a cause of concern for a shepherd. A sheep who has lost its appetite is reason for a shepherd to be concerned. It's possible that you are here all the time, that you're actively involved, and that you still have needs that we are not aware of. That is a cause of concern for a shepherd. We have a command, a duty, and a responsibility to shepherd. That means we are going to be feeding the sheep. We're going to be watching. We're going to be observing. We're going to be looking for ways that we can be among the sheep so that we can provide the shepherding that they need. Shepherds want to know their sheep. So when they reach out to the sheep, it's for their good, not for their harm. This passage tells us that we are to serve as overseers. We are in a role that is intended to serve. Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. The example that he left us is one of service. The shepherds are here to serve the flock. It's true. Our role requires oversight. We have to be diligently providing leadership. But effective leaders are those that serve. We are not here to be served. We are not in some elevated position. We simply fill a role, the role of a shepherd who serves the sheep and tends to his flock. We are here for you. The third thing that this passage tells me is that we have to be examples to the flock. Peter tells us how we are to shepherd, how we are to conduct ourselves in this role. We're to be an example. We're to lead, not only in word, but in deed. We should be demonstrating the behavior we want the sheep to follow. The shepherd must lead if the sheep are to follow. Turn over now to John, the 10th chapter. John chapter 10, verses 14 through 16. Jesus says there, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I also must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." Jesus is referring to himself here, and we recognize that we are not the chief shepherd. But the work of any good shepherd is to be known by his sheep. Our aim is to get to know the sheep and have them know us better. This is a deeper knowing, a personal knowing. It goes beyond simple recognition. If someone says to me, "Do you know Gary Ricketts?" I might know of Gary. I might know Gary if I saw him. I might recognize Gary's name if I heard it. But that's different than knowing Gary Ricketts on a personal level. That's different than knowing who he is, who his family is, where he works, what he believes, what's going on in his life. We are called as shepherds to know one another on a personal level. There's a depth of relationship that is required for the shepherds to know their sheep. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3 is a passage that helps us see the work of a good shepherd as modeled by God. Psalm 23, 1 through 3 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Shepherds lead to green pastures and still waters. They restore the soul. They lead in a path of righteousness. We see in this passage what it's like to be a sheep in the care of a good shepherd. The sheep under this shepherd, they live an abundant and good life. Their needs are met. They're cared for. They're guided. The shepherd provides ample spiritual food, water, and safety. He provides spiritual renewal. He guides the sheep in truth. Think for a minute about some of the tools, most of which we've already talked about this morning, that can provide this type of feeding and guidance that are made available to us today. We have teaching, both in preaching and Bible classes on Sundays and Wednesdays. We have gospel meetings where we have speakers come in, and we have dedicated times of evening each evening where we can study God's Word. We have annual themes. Our theme this year, having the mind of Christ. It's an opportunity for us to focus on a particular area of our Christian walk during the year. We have men's and ladies' Bible classes, additional times where we can be together to study God's Word and be with other sheep. There are personal studies that take place with various individuals to provide additional encouragement and growth. We have themed song services like we will have this evening, where we can concentrate on a particular idea from God's Word, have focused songs and prayers and scripture readings. We have group meetings where we can attend to the needs of others and grow our relationships together. All of these provide opportunities for us to grow and to be fed, but they're simply tools that cannot accomplish their purpose without you. Turn with me to Acts, the 20th chapter. Acts chapter 20, 28 through 31. Acts 20, 28 through 31. "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, day and night with tears." We have an exhortation from Paul here to the elders that they were to look out for the flock as they would for their own souls. They were to have a selfless care for the flock. It wasn't simply to look out for themselves, but also for the flock with the same level and degree of care. We won't look at it this morning, but if we were to turn to Ezekiel 34, you would see there a very damning picture of what happens when shepherds look out for themselves rather than looking out for the sheep. This flock is collectively important to Jesus. You individually are important to Jesus. He died and purchased you with His own blood. That is why He is concerned for you. And that is why He provided elders in the church. He did not want His sheep to be without a shepherd. And so He provided shepherds who would oversee, who would watch over, and who would care for the sheep that He purchased. He expects us as elders to have the same level of concern for you that we have for ourselves, the same level of concern that He has for you. Shepherding is a labor of love. It is serious business because as long as we are in this world, the sheep are in danger. They're in danger from the adversary, in danger of being led away from the flock, in danger of being lost. So the call to us as shepherds is to watch, to take heed, to be alert to the dangers that present themselves to the sheep. Turn with me to James, the 5th chapter. James 5, verse 13 through 16. James 5, 13 through 16. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. James' exhortation is that the elders should be called when one is sick, physically or spiritually, so that they can pray over him. One of the things that we do as elders is we pray. We pray for you individually. When we come together, one of the first things that we do is pray. We discuss spiritual problems. We discuss physical problems. We discuss things that might be troubling you or might be discouraging to you. And we discuss ways that we can help fulfill and provide for those needs. And then we take all of those things to the Lord in prayer. What we don't pray about and what we don't discuss are the things we don't know about. You may be dealing with a situation and missing out on an opportunity to have your shepherds praying for you. Don't let that continue. Be proactive and mention your needs to one of us and let us pray for you and let us pray with you. We are working to know the status of our sheep, but we will not always know of your needs. As hard as we may try, we will not be perfect in knowing of every situation. James, in this passage, puts the responsibility on the sheep. I want you to notice that. Let him call for the elders. We want to shepherd, and we want to serve. Help us in that regard by calling on us, as James has encouraged us to do. Lastly, look at Titus with me. Titus, the 1st chapter, verses 5 through 9. Titus 1, 5 through 9. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Elders have to be willing and able to exhort and contradict using sound scripture and teaching. Exhorting is to urge, to encourage, or call upon one to pursue faithfulness. Spiritual growth and maturity is the idea. To convict is to put those in error. To convince them of their sin, usually with the suggestion that we're convicting them, we're putting them to shame because of their error of their ways. Both of these responsibilities are meant for the good of the sheep. The exhortation is provided so that we can grow, so that we can all attain to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. That's a hall, that is a high calling, to grow and to mature, to be like our Lord. It's why we would choose a theme like having the mind of Christ. And it's something that we will all continuously be working on. And we're going to need exhortation. We're going to need encouragement to continue in that growth. One of the best ways to get that is right here with other sheep, with shepherds who have a goal of helping you, of feeding you. I do not believe that we will get the kind of encouragement we need, the kind of exhortation that we need to grow as a Christian in the world. But here in this place, I think you will find the encouragement that you need to grow. To convict is to deal with error and sin. We want the good to grow, but we want to eliminate the bad. Sometimes shepherds have to deal with those who do not hold to the truth, with those who are not walking after the manner of our Lord. Our approach and practice has always been to encourage people first. But there are times when those attempts do not work, behaviors do not change, and we cannot come to an agreement on truth. And so to protect the flock, we must convict. We have to take action. Obviously, as a shepherd, we never look forward to having to do those things. But when it results in someone returning to their walk with the Lord, when it helps someone to grow spiritually, the reward is worth the work. I would like to talk for just a few minutes now about some initiatives that the elders have been discussing. I hope those passages have helped to remind us of some of the responsibilities that the shepherds have and also that the sheep have. There are several things that we have either begun doing or are considering doing to try to better provide for the feeding and the growth and the encouragement of the flock. Group meetings is one of those areas. In order to increase the effectiveness of the groups, we've been reviewing their role and the activities of the groups. It's our intention to have the group meetings achieve three objectives: to grow closer to one another, along with the elders and deacons, to plan for and accomplish good works for the members of the congregation, reaching out to our visitors and members who might need our attention, and to provide a few minutes of spiritual reflection together. This could take the form of specific prayers for members, songs of praise, and exhortation, or specific biblical readings. You may notice some changes in your groups as we move forward, and we seek how we can use this opportunity to better accomplish our purposes. You may have already seen some of those things. I know in the group I attend, we sing a couple of songs now, which we did not used to do. We've tried to have specific prayers where we focus on the specific needs of the people that we're sending cards to. Please take advantage of these opportunities and participate in your group. The better relationships we are building with one another, the more effective we will be as the body of Christ. What underlies all that we do here is relationship, our relationship to God and our relationship to one another. We are all a part of a body, and if you are disjointed from the body, you cannot serve it effectively. Please join in these group meetings and work to establish and maintain your relationship to the body. We've also been discussing Sunday evening services. We're looking at targeting specific topics in a series of lessons on Sunday evening worship services. Our plan is to keep the two existing singing sessions that we have on the first and third Sunday, but we are looking at other ways we can use Sunday evening services to emphasize greater involvement in our members. Some of the suggestions that we have discussed would be to have scripture readings during the month where the members would have an opportunity to have specific questions addressed during a Sunday evening sermon. We've talked about encouraging our younger men maybe to help plan and lead in our worship services. And we're open to hear other ideas and suggestions that you may have on how we can use that worship period. We are not talking about, nor do we approve, worship that is not authorized in the New Testament. We're looking for how we can use those services to the greatest benefit of the flock here. If there are things we can do that would be beneficial to all, we want to consider those options. In a time when many are dissolving Sunday evening worship services, we are not. That is not our intention, and that is not intended to pass judgment of any kind on what others have seen best for their particular situation. We are tasked with shepherding this flock, and it is our belief that the more time we can spend together in worship with our God, the better for building and establishing relationships and promoting spiritual growth and maturity. If there are ways those services can be used to assist in that effort, then that is what we would like to do. We recognize that we are not alone when it comes to having less people here on Sunday evenings than we do on Sunday mornings. That's also true for Wednesday evenings. There are numerous reasons that can account for this. However, we do not want one of them to be a loss of appetite for the things of the Lord. We have a wonderful group of Christians that meet here. There are times when I need encouragement, and I find it right here among this body of people that love me. There are going to be times you need encouragement, and I hope that you will find it here as well among this flock where you are loved. The key ingredient in all of this working is that you are here. All of that encouragement cannot take place unless we are here together. We will continue to explore how we can better utilize our Sunday evening worship periods, and we would welcome your feedback in that regard. Lastly, the elders here are committed to getting to know our members better in the future. To this end, we are planning, beginning with the new groups in 2020, to meet with each member, either individually or in families, at least one time in a setting outside of the worship period or the group meeting. We plan to have the elders in a group arrange to meet with each member of the group at least one time next year. We plan to arrange a meeting at your convenience to sit down with us and learn more about you and have you learn more about us. Our goal is to get a better understanding of who you are, your interests, and how we can help you grow spiritually. To reiterate a few points we have already made, the shepherds must know their sheep, and the sheep must know their shepherds. Relationships are vital to what we do here as part of this body. Without the knowledge and the relationships that are built by spending time together, we cannot effectively shepherd or function as a body. Please do not view this desire to meet with you in a negative light. It is not intended that way at all. It is intended to help us grow and build relationship. To have an opportunity to talk to you more deeply, more thoroughly than what an occasional greeting after services at the building would allow. And it's intended to work in both directions. We want to know you personally. We want to know more than your name and your face and where you sit in the building. We are excited and looking forward to being able to spend more time with you in a personal setting so that we can grow in our knowledge and love for one another. I hope that these thoughts today will help you have a better insight into the role of your shepherds, the seriousness with which we approach that role, and some of the things that we have been discussing to try to promote further spiritual growth and maturity, love for our Lord. We hope these things will help us build stronger and more deeper relationships with one another. Of utmost importance is our relationship to our head and our chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. Our relationship to Him, our love for Him, is what all of these things will grow from and will be built upon. We are family. We are brothers and sisters. And on behalf of the elders who watch over your souls, let me say that we love you, each of you. We want what is best for you, and we are working to that end. And we hope that today's message has been encouraging and helpful to you. If you would take out your songbooks and turn to the number that Phil has given us for our invitation song. Jesus encourages us in Matthew 5, verse 48. He says, "Therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." The word he uses there is teleos. It doesn't mean without flaw. It means to be complete, mature, whole. However, in our maturity and our striving for holiness, there is nothing wrong with setting perfection as our goal. We will not obtain perfection, but we can certainly set that as our goal, and it will aid our growth and our maturity when we set a high standard. God has encouraged us to be holy because He is holy. How are you doing at becoming a completer and more mature Christian? It won't happen without effort. It doesn't happen by mistake. It will only happen if you set spiritual goals for yourself and set out every day to pursue them with zeal. If we can help you this morning in your walk with the Lord, if we we can help you in any way with a spiritual matter, we stand ready to do so. We'd encourage you to come forward and make that known as we stand and sing this song.